stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful.
Morning, Osage. How you doing? Beautiful day. Hey, I got a message a while ago, and I need to let you all know about because you're my family. And I love you. Y'all know God's in control? Amen. All the time. Do not fear. I mean, he just sung that song. It's great. All right, so just remember that. We got any announcements need to be made? All right. Shoot, Luke.
Well, we picked the least public speaker in church to do this, but that's the way it is. As you know, there's a holiday coming up, or a couple of them coming up, but one that is particularly huge, and that is toward the end of December. And until the end of December, the Gideon's International, and Lottie Moon. See, I'm going to give you a little plug, Laura. But anyway, there are two things that we're going to be asking for donations for. And as believers, we have the greatest story in the world to tell. I'm trying to read this without stumbling. The greatest story in the world. The story of the Savior who came to earth to save all of us. This time of year, the world can tempt us to get caught up in all the commercial aspects of the holiday, but you and I know the real reason for Christmas. We are pleased to announce that our church is partnering with the Gideon's International this Christmas to share the greatest story of all, the story of Jesus. It's called Birthday for Jesus, an opportunity for our church offers you and us to celebrate Christ's birth by donating Bibles around the world in his honor. And we have a video.
On the first Christmas night, a star lit up the heavens. The angels gathered to rejoice in the coming of a Savior. Shepherds left their fields and journeyed to worship together the light of the world who was born to chase away darkness. This holy child who began life in a humble manger was honored with gifts worthy of a king. Our traditions may have changed over the years, but the one we celebrate remains the same. He is the Prince of Peace, the Great Healer, the Good Shepherd, Emmanuel. He is still worthy of our gifts today. With every donation given, you help fund distribution of scriptures to people who are seeking the hope only Jesus can provide. Join the Gideons International today in spreading the good news of Jesus this Christmas.
To participate in this opportunity to touch lives with the Word of God, please take a donation envelope from the display located in the foyer and fill it out. Include any amount you wish to give to the Gideons International in honor of Jesus' birthday. Your donation will help provide the placement and distribution of scriptures in some 200 countries. Inside the envelope, you will find a decorative ornament that is yours to keep. You can hang it on your tree, attach it to a gift package, whatever you like. I've heard of some people making donations and putting their child or their grandchild's name on that and hanging it on their tree or giving it to them to hang on their own tree. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's word does not return void. Please pray for those who receive these scriptures, knowing that somewhere in the world, a man, woman, boy, girl will receive a copy of God's word that you provided. And that's all I'm going to tell you right now.
There's ever a time people need to hear about Jesus. It is now. So let's open in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We can come into your house and, Lord, just sing praises to you. Lord, we just ask you, speak to our hearts as we hear your word this morning. And Lord, we pray for those that are in need of you, and we pray for our country. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask you to stand again if it's convenient. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. One, two, three.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is a Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Fill my plea, my feeble plea. Oh, in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed day. Keep me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption song someday. Oh, I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firm. Take a stand as I onward go and daily meet the fold. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Now when I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Oh Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my.
All right. Never fear, we are sheltered in the arms of God. Amen.
I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in the path. Walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within of God. Well, he walks with me, and naught of earth shall harm me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Soon I shall hear the fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven, sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let storms reach high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. Well, he walks with me, and none of earth shall harm me. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. For I'm sheltered arms of
God. In Acts 4:11, Peter says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone." And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. The song is called Cornerstone. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within. Strong in the Savior's love. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. That are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my are on you, and it is well with me. And far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. The waves and wind still know his name. And it is well with my soul. With my soul.
You're a part of Children's Church. We're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group now. Thank you for being here today. We're certainly in stormy times for our nation and stormy times for churches, for sure, and different businesses are facing that. Got my grandson Austin and my granddaughter Stephanie with us today, and my great grandson Bennett Bullington is here. I don't know if he knows he's here or not, but he's here, and we're. Gwen and I are grateful for that. And we're grateful that you are here with us. We talked about a storm last week that the disciples were in. Brother Mike has sang a lot about storms today. And I'm going to be talking about storms, a storm in Paul's life. In the book of Acts, we've come to the end of that, or almost to the end of it, the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. And Paul is on his way to make his defense before Caesar. And he's guarded by a centurion soldier. And he has a couple of his friends with him in this voyage and in the midst of this storm. So take your Bible and turn with me to Acts 27. And let's begin reading with verse 13. Go ahead and stand and let's give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. There is so much in this passage. My plan is to do part of this morning, part of it tonight. We'll just see how it goes. I'll just go until it looks like you're falling over, and then I'll quit. But there's just so much in the midst of this. One of the things, starting with verse 13, you just can't depend on the weather. Sometimes when it looks like smooth sailing, we can't just take off. We've got to depend on the Lord. We've got to keep our eyes on Him. Am I on? Is everybody hearing me okay? Is everybody hearing me okay? I'll just check and see if you're still there. All right, 27, verse 13. Let's start. And when the south wind blew softly, look at that, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose a great, against it, a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon, a hard beating wind. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strike sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, see, we really want storms to get over in a hurry, don't we? We don't want them to last very long. We want to put God in this box and say, okay, Lord, I've had all this I want. So end it now. Stop it now. Stop the storm now. And when neither sun nor stars in many days, they couldn't see the stars nor the sun for many days, and no small tempest lay upon us. They were tossed with the sea. Now look at what he says. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, that is, they didn't eat nor drink, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have listened. You should have hearkened unto me. That's what he meant anyway, you should listen to me. And not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer. Now listen closely, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. We're going to lose the ship, but nobody's going to die. For there stood by me, and this is one of my most favorite verses in Scripture, For there stood by me this night the angel of God. Now, I think that what we have to pay attention to here is who is this angel? And let me define for you what an angel is, what the word angel actually means. A messenger. The angel brings a message. An angel brings a message. And so he got a messenger from God, a messenger from God. There stood by me this night a messenger of God, an angel of God, whose I am. I love it. And whom I serve. I belong to God. I'm serving Him. His messenger came and spoke to me, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. And when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. And they sounded, that is, they dropped down a cord to see how deep the water was. And they found it to be 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, it got less. They sounded again, they found it to be 14. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast forth anchors out of the stern. We talked about the anchors last week, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under colors as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. I don't know why. Do you? Then the soldiers cut off the ropes and of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that you've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and he gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were in all in the ship 217 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. You can be seated. Standing in the kitchen several years ago with the folks that were preparing a meal on Wednesday for the Awana kids that were coming, Sheila Walker and I was in a conversation. And Sheila said, life is what happens while making other plans. And sometimes we fail to grab hold of that life is taking place right now. Life's taking place. You may be planning on a trip somewhere. You may be planning to do this, change careers, or to start a career. Or you may be planning to go to college, or you may be planning retirement, whatever it might be. But life is what is going on while we're making other plans. And it's real life. And sometimes it's very stormy life. There are storms of life. Look with me, and I don't want to pass this up before we get it done. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11. And look down at verse 24. Now, Paul is writing this second letter to the church at Corinth. If you were in the Bible study last Wednesday night, you learned quite a bit about Corinth and the city of sin and what a terrible place it was. And this is the place that Paul had come to start a church, to start a gathering for the Lord. And there were people there that had come to help him and that God had sent to help him. He didn't gather up a crew before he went. God was sending him people to help him start that church, to get that church going. And so he's writing his second letter now in 2 Corinthians. He's writing his second letter to the church that he had started in Corinth. And he begins to talk. He begins to reflect on his own life, on the storms that had taken place in his own life. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Did you catch that? Do you know why the Jews had a law that you could only give a man 39 stripes when you were giving him a whipping with a for his crimes, is that they thought that if you give him 40, it would probably kill him. And obviously, they were going from experience. And so Paul said, five times I got that. Five times from the Jews. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Do you remember that story? And he's not talking about drinking too much here. He's talking about people throwing rocks at him. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides all those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. David, Jeremiah, said that when he was undergoing cancer treatment and he was suffering, he said the sweats and everything that went with the chemotherapy, some of y'all have experienced that, the difficulty that he was facing and didn't know whether he would live or die. He said he got a card from a guy that this passage of Scripture was printed out on. And at the bottom of the card, he said, "How's your day going?" When we look at someone else's perspective, when we look at it from someone else's perspective, we begin to get a perspective of what God is doing in our own lives. I said this last Sunday, I'll probably say it many times before I die. If you're not experiencing a storm right now, you're going to. If you're not experiencing a storm right now, you're going to. It may be that life for you right now is like we read in these beginning verses. The wind blew softly, and the sea turned to glass. We lifted the sails and began to sail. But it wasn't very long until that soft wind became a hard wind, and we were in a storm, and we were in a threat for our life, Paul said, and we were fighting to try to stay alive. And you're going to have one. You're going to have several in your lifetime. Some of it will be through your employment. Some of it will be in your family. Some of it will be in your health. Some of it will be in other ways, and heartbreaks and trouble and difficulties in your life, but the storm is coming. So why did God give us this big, long, detailed account of this storm in Paul's life? Why would he do that? Why didn't he just say, a storm came, they wrecked the ship, and they ended on an island? He brought out this is the inspired, infallible word of God. But why would God put all of this here for us to look at in our life? Because he's getting us ready for a storm. He's getting you ready for a storm. Two ladies watched as the goldsmith churned the gold within the cradle with the hot fire burning underneath it, purifying the gold. And with a huge ladle, the goldsmith stirred the gold while the fire was raging. And when the impurities would come to the top, he would take the ladle and he would scrape off the impurities and he would pour them into another container to sift later. And he went through this process over and over and over again. And one asked him, what is this process that you're doing? He said, I'm purifying the gold. I'm taking all of the impurities out of the gold. And the hotter the fire, the impurities come to the top, and I ladle those impurities off. And the question was asked him, how do you know when it's pure gold? He said, when I can see my reflection in it, it's pure gold. Now listen to me, folks. In the storms of our life that will come, perhaps you are in it now. And as the heat is turned up and the difficulties become more difficult, and as the impurities rise to the top, and they will, you'll think thoughts that you never thought before. You'll have feelings that you never felt before. And as the impurities rise to the top and the Lord takes His mighty spoon and scrapes off the impurities, He is waiting to see His reflection in you. When you begin to look like Him, He lessens the heat. Who were these? As we kind of make a little overview of what's taking place now in the ship, those about the ship with Paul, there was 276 altogether. This may be a long introduction, but you're not in the storm by yourself. Other folks in the storm with you. But I'm telling you, there are folks who are not Christians that are looking at how you are responding to the storm. And it's going to have a great impact on their life in the way that you handle the storm. Paul is being accompanied by two fellow Christians, Aristarchus and Luke, old Doc Luke. Real friends stay with you even in the storm. Now listen to me today. Did I say it? Real friends stay with you even in the storm. So you're in one of two positions today, and that's the reason I think that the Lord has given us this passage to research. You're in a position of one of two of these things. Either you are accompanying someone in the midst of their storm, or you're in the storm yourself. Either place is a very important place to be when you are accompanying someone in their storm. I remember a next door neighbor that made the greatest impact on me that I could hardly believe. When my dad passed away, he was 63 years old, much younger than I am now, and it was a very sudden death. He died on the job, and my brothers and I, our dad had died. We had made funeral arrangements, and me and my two brothers were standing out in the yard in front of my mom's house, just standing there, kind of in shock. One of my dad's friends, a next door neighbor, which where we lived at, next door was a mile away. One of the neighbors came, one of my dad's friends came, that we'd known all of our life. They'd lived next to us all of our life. And he came, and we were standing in a kind of a semicircle. my brothers and I. We acknowledged him being there. We said hi to him. And he just came and stood in the circle. He didn't say anything, not for a long time. And then finally he said, "Boys, I don't know what to say." But see, it wasn't what he said. It was just the fact that he accompanied us in the storm. He was just there for the storm. So you are in one of two places. Either you are accompanying other folks in their storm, or you're in the midst of the storm yourself. Real friends stay with you even in the storm. There's Julius here, the centurion. He was in charge of 100 soldiers, 100 soldiers, excuse my hillbilly. For a Roman soldier to lose a prisoner, it meant his own life. Yet, something had taken place in Julius's life. He was giving Paul great liberty. Verse 3, he gives him a great privilege to go ashore and meet with his friends and refresh himself, do whatever he needed to do. Number one, you will do your greatest work for the kingdom in stormy circumstances in your life. Had it not been for the storm, the disciples would not have witnessed Jesus' control over the storm. In Mark, the 4th chapter, we talked about that last week. In the 39th verse of that, he stood and he spoke to the storm. He spoke to the waves and he spoke to the wind. And he said, "Peace, be still." I remember hearing in a gospel song a few years ago about this incident. And some way in the words of that song, this is all I can remember about it. But one or the other, the wind or the waves, the wind leaned over and spoke to the waves and said, "Shh, that's him. That's him." There's the master of the universe that has stood up and said, "Peace, be still." You see, what you and I want, what I want, is for the minute that the storm begins to rage, is for Jesus to stand in the ship and say, "Peace, be still." But my fear is that he's in the process of building me and making me into something that I'm not now, but that I'm going to be for the future. So he's allowed a storm in my life or in your life. Secondly, the storms bring out the leaders in us. When you read this passage, just watch Paul. Just watch what he does. He's a prisoner on a ship guarded by a centurion and 100 of his soldiers. And pretty soon, he's the captain of the ship. He is the one that is in charge, and he's giving orders. They can't leave. They can't leave. We can't all be saved if they leave. They can't leave. So they cut the ropes, let the boat fall. Take nourishment. It's time for you to eat now. You've gone 14 days without eating. Now it's time for us to eat. They watch Paul as he began to be in control in the midst of the storm. You see, in all of leadership, the storms that bring out the leader in us is that a leader, the true character of a real leader, is being a servant. Now you think about it, serving in the midst of the storm in your life. Doesn't make sense, does it? I want to be served. That's okay. But in the storm, he brings out servanthood in us. In Matthew 20 and verse 28, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And so we begin to look more like Jesus when we're serving. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, Paul is saying, who is Paul? Who am I? Who is Apollos? And they're talking about, man, if I was baptized by this guy or that guy, that really makes me something. No. I followed his ministry or followed that ministry, that made me different. No. Paul said, we're ministers. Doesn't matter whether you're preaching behind the pulpit or playing the instrument or teaching one of the classes, all of us are to be ministers. We're to be ministering to those who have the need. A servant leader will have the best interest at heart of those that are around. And I'm going to close with this. And I think that we just have to be cautious here. Most of the time, the one who wants to be in charge doesn't need to be in charge. I think that reluctance on our part is sometimes good. That we're cast into this play that we're about, and that just we have to do what God has called us to do. I'd gone to preach a funeral in Newport, Arkansas, a few years ago. And I had a little bit of time, and I went to McDonald's. Leon says his favorite international restaurant. And had some lunch. And they were having a birthday party for a little one there, a little girl. And don't know if they were going to wash their hands or the urge hit every one of them at the same time to go to the restroom. But they got up. All these little girls got up, 8 or 9 of them. I don't know how many there was. There's a bunch of them. All these little girls got up, and this leader took control that was probably 5 or 6 years old, and she said, "Follow me. I know where it is." They fell in behind her just like a little troop. And she led every one of them into the man's bathroom. And I laughed. I had a good time. I laughed, and I seen that mother jump up and take off after them and got them situated, got them out of the men's bathroom, got them into the women's bathroom. And she started back up the aisle, past where I was seated, eating my lunch, shaking her head. And I said, "Ma'am, I have a question." And she turned and looked at me and said, "What?" I said, "Is that little girl a Baptist?" And she said, "She sure is." And I said, "She's just like most Baptists I know. They may lead people in the wrong direction. Not everyone needs to be in charge that wants to be in charge. God needs followers. He needs fellowship. He needs men and women that are willing to follow him. And when you pick up that servant spirit, people have a tendency to want to follow you. Mike, come and help us. Roger, come and help us. I'm going to finish this tonight. I want to ask you about your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Where are you at? If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity at? And really, in these storms that you're going to be going through, or this storm that you're going through right now, are you where you need to be? Is God dealing with your heart to commit to Him in some way? Maybe you're not a Christian yet, and you need to invite Jesus into your heart as personal Savior. I want to lead you in a prayer for you to do that. If this is true in your life, you've never asked Jesus into your heart as Savior, always going to church and went to Sunday school and vacation Bible school and all those things, but there's never been that time in your life that there's been that change that took place when the Lord said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Has there been that time in your life that you've invited Jesus into your heart as Savior? If not, would you do that today? Would you do it right now? Would you say, Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner and lost. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive you as Lord, Savior of my life right now. In Jesus' name I pray. I'd like to hear from you if you prayed that. I'd like to know it today if I could. We're going to give an invitation here for you to make that public. We're going to give an invitation for you to become a part of this fellowship if you want to. By being baptized, if you haven't been. By moving your letter here from another fellowship, if you haven't done that yet. Or to make a real commitment of your heart and your life to the Lord today. As you get ready for the storm, or as you ride out the storm. I'm really excited about the rest of this message. How they lighten the boat for the storm. I think that's important. Let's stand together. As we sing, we invite you to come. Roger's here. I'll be here at the front.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
We'll meet tonight at 6. I hope that you can come back and be a part of that service with us. Bible drill practice at 5 in the children's church. All right. Kenny Huff, would you dismiss us with a word of prayer, please?